Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Caster, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you. Today's special guest is Beth McGeorge. Hello, Beth.
Hello.
So Beth's a local realtor here with RE/MAX of Jefferson City. And a few days ago, we had a story in which we talked to Beth and some other realtors about the housing market. So in that story, you and some of the other realtors suggested there was a cooling on its way. And we're not talking about winter here.
No, but that's coming.
It's coming too. But there was a cooling in the housing market locally and nationally. So all that to say, let's talk about, for those who haven't recently purchased or sold a house, they may not know that the demand for housing right now is really quite high,
mm-hmm.
and the prices are elevated over where they have been historically. So give us an idea of what that might look like for somebody who's unfamiliar with the housing market.
Yes, if it's been a long time since you've bought or sold and you're not watching the news, it will be shocking if you enter now sight unseen, but most people have heard of the pressure in the real estate market, but when you're in it and feeling it is a very different thing. We have rarely seen bidding wars in the, you know, historic years and decades. It was rare, if ever. So buyers had to get educated really quickly on how to be competitive, ways to write your contract changed when it's more of terms, meaning inspections, appraisal, financing, and price matters, but you had to look at the big picture.
So, I mean, not to name a name of a seller or a buyer, but give us an example of, I think it's mind-boggling, the stories I've heard of folks who put the house on the market and they have an offer within hours.
Yes. It is, I think sellers got a bad rap that it was all fun and games for them. Because when you sell a home for more than you're asking and it goes really quickly, yes, they're having a great day, but they had a lot of pressure of which is the right offer to take. You know, they had to find out how serious are they? Are they pre-approved? Can they make good on this contract they've written? And then what do the next steps look like in the process? So I think one of my couple big standout scenarios, one, they got $75,000 above ask. And of that scene, there were five offers, and their biggest offer that was a clear standout above the rest of the offers, they were coming from out of state, and they had that out of state money, you know, The higher economy. And that was just almost mind blowing to the seller. She kind of thought it was fake. It was so much higher. And I fact checked a lot of it myself, but that was the largest above ask contract that we secured. And I would say in the number of offers, that volume was around 20 or 21 offers.
Wow.
That we fielded on a single home. And so then that becomes laborious in and of itself of tracking who brought what. And then to be fair, you go back to everybody and say, hey, we have an insane number of offers.
Yeah.
Get me your highest and best by noon tomorrow or whatever the deadline is. But it's just a different approach. So we all had to kind of learn in that moment of what's appropriate and what's fair became a hot button word.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and I think it's, you know what you know. And mm-hmm. so I think about, I sold my last house in 2008.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Did that go well, or were you in the beginning or end of that?
I was at the end of it.
Sorry.
Yeah, it was ugly. You know, and you'd have open houses, and you might get a few people come and show. And it was truly, it was excruciating. It was on the market for months.
It's painful.
Yeah. So that's the extreme, I know. At 2008 was kind of when the market turned.
Yeah.
But what's historically, what should someone expect in the housing market in Central Missouri?
So normal market turnaround time, or what you'd call an absorption rate, you know, your market exposure time,
mm-hmm.
6 months is normal. That's mm-hmm. kind of where they figure the market's balanced between sellers and buyers.
Okay.
Right now, that's been an average days on market of 40 or less. So it's been really, really quick. And many of them, like you said, they're getting offers within hours. As a realtor, our job, you're tap dancing, because while the buyer who made the first offer wants you to just take it, the seller, let's say, has 20 more showings scheduled. They want to see what comes of that.
Right.
So it becomes really time sensitive in trying to manage buyers' expectations of, here's our deadline. You know, and you'd have agents say, we're going to take offers until such and such time on a certain day. But I always felt like sometimes that wasn't necessarily appropriate either, because if you pull that too far out, if a seller gets 50 grand above cash, no appraisal, and they take it, and we've already said we would wait, then I'm a bad guy.
Yeah.
So you're kind of walking a tightrope on some of that.
Sure. So what's the inventory look like, the housing inventory? That's the other thing that strikes me is, are there a lot of houses on the market right now?
Well, it depends on who you ask. Econ 101, scarcity creates urgency.
Right.
So when there's not a lot on the market, people tend to move quicker. The beginning of this year, so the top of 2022, we had right around 100 active listings in the Jefferson City MLS, and that is historically around 500 to 600 before you start fine-tuning school district bedrooms, bathrooms, things like that.
Right.
So we were around 100. Right now, we are 170 to 180. Kind of toggling in there. So up quite a bit from the first of the year, but by no means do we have an influx of inventory or too much, right? So it's increasing, but slightly.
So when you look at that inventory, I mean, kind of how does it break down? One of the discussions that's more rental based about housing has been workforce housing,
mm-hmm.
you know, those who are just starting out.
So it's hard.
It's hard. Mm-hmm. So when you're looking at single family homes, what's the market breakdown? I mean,
usually in a given price pocket that a buyer will search, and it depends on your price range. If you are a first-time home buyer and you're looking under 100, normally they look 90 to 100 or 80 to 90. It's a shorter pocket. If you're a more seasoned home buyer and you're a little later in life, you know, you're buying up, you may look 300 to 350. You know, it broadens. That's a $50,000 range. But most buyer pockets that they're searching in are around five or six homes to choose from. Some are less. That first-time buyer range, they're competing with investors along with first-time home buyers. So there's just additional pressure on that. So if you get a house around $100,000 that's updated at all and clean and move-in ready, it's going to be a crowd.
Yeah. So when you look at that inventory, let's say, let's go somewhere in between. I mean, what percentage of the market is that 100 to 200,000?
That is the peak. That is what most people can afford. They're comfortable there. We're in a pretty conservative community, so I think we are different than, let's say, a second home market. Those tend to have a lot more injection of cash and confidence in their finances than those of us here in mid-Missouri. If we get even just the whiff of weirdness, people really shut down quickly.
Yeah.
You've been around, you know that mode. We're in the middle of weirdness with the economic projections, so we do have some people that have kind of crossed their arms and locked their knees and said, I don't think I'm doing anything right now.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's always the concern. If you have a house, you're wondering, you know, if you're looking to downsize or upsize, depending upon your family situation, you want to make sure you have someplace to jump to before you sell.
Correct. I had a lot of phone calls from people that said, hey, Beth, you got my friend a bidding war. I went in on this. I want to do it. I said, great. I'm your girl. Where are you going?
Yeah.
And they say, well, you know, 5 acres in the middle of the country sounds real fine. And I'm never a naysayer. I'm optimistic. If we have the desire to do it, we'll make it happen for you.
Yeah.
But it was going to be tough.
Yeah.
There was a lot of demand for that. So we logistically had to do a lot more handholding in finding a short-term rental. Mm-hmm. Or financially, can they buy and then sell? And are they too risk-averse for that?
Right.
A lot of people were living with family. So that's stressful for people. So there were a lot of creativity looked into. What are our options?
Yeah. So again, the story we had suggested that a cooling off period was coming.
Mm-hmm.
So what leads us to believe that this current market's not going to sustain itself?
So it's strange. All of the economic projections are kind of anticipating a cooling off. So where we had 15 to 20 offers on a home, we're now seeing 1 to 3. So it's a smaller crowd. But they also don't expect a huge influx in listing inventory. So they think values are going to hold and these new average sales price values that we have in mid-Missouri here are going to stay, but it may not sell immediately in seconds or minutes or hours.
Right.
It may last on the market a month or so. Half of the listings are selling for at or above ask. Half are having price reductions. So that's a strange statistic because half the time it's what they're kind of expecting and hearing from the news. And the other half, they're kind of disappointed if they have to wiggle off the price. They weren't expecting that.
Right.
Sometimes. So in my listing appointments, we have those conversations of, I don't have a crystal ball, but here's what we do know.
Okay.
And then we strategize accordingly. It's a different thing if someone's moving out of state and got a new job and they're packing up next weekend.
Right.
Versus, hey, I just want to make a bunch of money. Let's see.
So do we have an idea of a timeline as to, have we already started the cooling off?
I think it's cooled off, but we're not seeing it in statistics yet.
Yeah.
It is a big ask for me right now in a listing appointment. I've got two people I'm going to meet with this afternoon. You look backwards in sales when you look at sales comps.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, when we peek backwards, we are looking at what I believe will be our absolute peak in the market because those were 2% interest rates and a lot of pressure in the market, and people just made some big jumps on offers and things. So that's what I think we're looking at. So I have started analyzing data from about 2 years ago, just projecting backwards a little bit because there was a big jump up from 20 to 21 even. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at that because that's data that's sound and you can count on it, but it's a little bit lighter than last year, so that if that's where it heads, that should be a good stepping stone of what the future looks like. But that being said, as a buyer, it's really tricky because you got to have your tennis shoes on and be ready to quick step if it's one you love.
Sure.
You could have a bidding war.
Yeah. Well, and it strikes me, and maybe this still doesn't apply, but historically, September through December was when those who are selling were buying. It kind of slows down a bit seasonally, then picks up February, March, April, in that area.
Yes. The fall market stays pretty healthy. So right now, what are we? We're early October. We will keep kicking along, assuming we don't get any weird weather. Weird weather meaning a big snow in November. Yeah. That'll slow it down pretty quick. But it will normally keep cranking until about Thanksgiving. That Thanksgiving to Christmas time, we see slow down. But we also see where if you have a buyer who needs to buy, was always a reason for a need to buy moment. Mm-hmm. Those, sometimes you're the only man standing when you're listed. So I always tell folks and advocate for sell when you're ready to sell. If they wait till spring, they may just find themselves having more competition because lots of other people do that.
Yeah.
So I think the timing needs to be specific to their needs and wants, I guess. But I've had Decembers that were so busy that if it wasn't for Amazon, my kids would not have a visit from Santa Claus.
Sure.
Because I stayed so busy. And so it really does depend from year to year. And it started getting busier earlier in the year because our winters have been more mild. We all think back to the sledding days in the winter. We've had fewer of those. And so it's interesting. If February stays pretty mild and the weather is lovely sooner, February gets real busy. Otherwise, it's March, April when it really gets nuts.
Okay. Well, let's start talking about this idea of if I'm ready to buy right now, I'm looking for a house, what can I do to best position myself for a purchase?
Good question. I'm pretty passionate about this. So expectations are everything. We like to sit down and do a buyer consult with someone, even if they've purchased a home before, because it's different. Mm-hmm. Even if they bought 3 years ago, there's a new conversation we need to have on game plan. So that's part of it, is being able to understand the process. That helps make the entire process smoother and less stressful when people know what to expect. And then also regarding financing, people really must get approved before they start house hunting.
Okay.
Because if they do some calculations of a payment and they say, this works for me, but they go to the bank and the down payment is more than they can afford, or the payment isn't what they were expecting and there's additional fees, they can't really afford to have that surprise once they're already under contract with their dream home. And then also the fees needed to close, we need to make sure what's your down payment plus that. The last 2 years, it's been almost non-existent that people could negotiate in closing costs that the seller paid for.
Yeah.
You could ask, and we asked, but that was almost always no.
Right.
And kind of like contingencies.
Sure.
But
sure.
Buyers really need to know their payment. And I think right now with the volatility of interest rates, figure it at a point higher-ish, you know, defer to the lender a little bit on that.
Right.
And know that if rates bump up even a little, that they're not into a payment that's stressful.
Okay.
I think in budget, a lot of people overspend. Your dream house is a nightmare if the payment is stressful.
Yeah.
You know, because things will come up. So I'm a big advocate for people staying within a comfortable budget versus just getting kind of crazy on them.
Yeah. So should you anticipate still to pay more than the asking price, or?
Sometimes, yes. I think budgeting for that, for example, if a new listing hits the market today for $199,900 and your budget cap is $200,000, be prepared that if somebody ups that a little bit, even slightly, that you might get outbid on that.
Yeah.
However, if it's a $180,000 house and they've overpriced it, you get the pleasure of watching it. And if it doesn't sell in a week or two, we can assume some play in that price typically.
Yeah.
Even 2 weeks, you're not market worn, you're not dead meat, but it's a different conversation when you get that offer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's certainly one of those things where you maybe your dream house, you don't want to jump too soon too.
Correct. And I think that's a question for each person. You know, I can't make that decision for them. They need to analyze, does that check all the boxes? And is that the one that they want to push their budget on or not?
So from a buyer's perspective, you mentioned the closing costs, home warranties, things like that. How much negotiation is there now in the prices versus if we have a cooling off period? What are realistic expectations from a negotiating standpoint for a buyer?
Well, so it kind of depends on each listing because, again, we're human beings that are calculating these prices, right? Or meeting with the seller. If I met with you to sell your home, I would give you a recommended price range. But at the end of the day, it's your choice on what you list it for.
Yeah.
So if I said, gee whiz, I think your house is worth $1 million. And you said, Beth, I really want $1.5 million, right?
Yeah.
And we list it for that. Doesn't mean the buyers necessarily agree. And so you will have some listings, especially the economists are making a lot of noise about this. We're coming out of this really hot market. So the data is there, but it's shifting kind of beneath our feet, a little bit like quicksand, but not that dramatic. Okay.
Right.
But I don't think people know. I've heard a lot of economists. I'm paying attention to people smarter than me,
yeah,
and listening. I think if the market really seizes and gets weird and kind of locks up a little bit, I think they're going to dip interest rates this spring, mm-hmm, and we could see another total feeding frenzy.
Yeah.
I think if rates dip, it's going to go totally nuts. So I'm almost frustrated that they're raising rates as highly and as quickly as they are, because I feel like that lends itself, instead of this like slow, gradual uptick,
mm-hmm,
this big jump up, I feel like they're going to reduce them. And even from there, I think it's just going to be like blood in the water to sharks. It's going to,
sure,
go nuts. So that's my theory. So as a realtor, it's fun. It's great. But
right,
the idea is a more even market to where sellers are happy and buyers are happy.
Yeah.
It's just been one-sided for a long time.
Yeah. So let's go to the other side of the equation, the sellers. So, mm-hmm, how can they best position themselves? They're getting ready to sell their existing house.
I think it's strategy. So pricing, and again, this goes back to their why. Pricing is going to be really key for someone who absolutely has to sell. They probably want to err on the side of caution if they have the equity to do it, because buyers are well-versed and prepared to offer above asking if they want it.
Mm-hmm.
That used to not be the case. You would usually make a mistake if you priced it too low, but now people will pay extra.
Yeah.
And so there's less risk in that. Time is not your friend if it sits on the market for a long time. People negotiate and come at you differently as a seller.
Oh, sure.
So the why really matters. And then I also think it's going to shift a little bit. We're coming out of a market where sellers really didn't have to do any updates. I mean, you could darn near not even clean up your breakfast dishes,
right,
leave, have a showing, and get multiple offers.
Yeah.
So I think now if things start to tighten up a little, I've always stayed true to what I know works, but I think a lot of homes sold that didn't quite have that spit shine polish like,
right,
we're used to seeing. So I think that's going to matter as well. Just all those little details start to maybe matter a little bit more. Buyers may analyze how updated it is, how new the furnace is, the roof, things like that, in a way where they sort of couldn't get that picky,
yeah,
for a long time. So some of those elements, which again, we kept doing, but it sometimes didn't really matter. You just say, price it at this and it'll still get a bidding war.
Yeah.
And then it would.
Well, much of what we've talked about strikes me as its existing home. So I'm curious, for this market, what is the new home?
Oh my gosh.
Market look like? Is it?
We need them.
Yeah. How's it can compare historically?
Oh my goodness. That's such a good question. So, and I'll keep this brief, but 08, we mentioned the market then. That was brutal. That was not a good time. There were a lot of builders that went out of business during that time.
Yeah.
And I don't have the graph with me today, but it was, let's say you had a scale to 100 before. It's at like 10 now. It's,
wow,
a fraction of who was in business pre, we'll call it the crash back in 08. Tons of builders were in business and building homes and doing these big development projects,
yep,
here and nationwide. That ended. People lost their businesses. They didn't get their feet back on the ground. And so those who are in business now for custom builds, they're booked for 2 years typically,
sure,
when we ask. 2 years. If you wanted to build a house, they say, cool, great, get in line. It'll be 2 years before we get started. That's crazy. So who's going to do that?
All right.
So that adds additional pressure on existing homes. And there's a huge demand. People want new. There's just not the manpower to make it happen.
Yeah. Is it more the manpower for these spec buildings, or is it more locations?
Like land and,
yeah,
stuff? A little bit of land. The land is out there. If we snapped our fingers and doubled our number of quality builders who are in business in town, they would be done, because,
yeah,
the money is there to be made. It's hard, and we've seen, this is a little side topic, but those help wanted signs are everywhere. It's the same for the builders, the landscapers, any kind of service industry related to housing is completely overtaxed.
Yeah.
You and I have both tried calling a handyman to, you know, a handy person to show up and do work, and they're booked. It's hard.
Yep.
So we have a lot of demand for that. So anybody listening who has anyone with a dream to do that kind of a job, do an internship. we're in dire straits. We need more help for that kind of stuff.
So do you have any parting thoughts for those who are either looking to buy or sell?
I think do your homework and be connected with a really good realtor. I think they touched on this in the article, but pre-pandemic, there were just shy of 1 million realtors in the nation. Now we're over 1.6 million. So there's a lot of agents who haven't seen a market with higher interest rates or where it's a little bit more evened out or like, oh, wait, I had to look at people and say, I'm really sorry, but you're probably writing a check in order to sell your house. That is a conversation most people are not equipped to have directly and kindly. I think as people, we kind of want to tell people what they want to hear. In the moment as a professional, as a realtor, that isn't always the fit. It's honesty is always number one. So I think just make sure you're getting really good current advice. And it may need to be about up to the minute if things stall or get a little bit weird. And if it fires back up, it's then, okay, what's the future look like? You know, so I think just knowing your budget, being conservative and getting really good advice.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Beth, thanks for joining us
today. Yeah, thank you for your time.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.